So if you will just turn your Bibles with me over to Isaiah chapter 6, starting with verse 1, going to verse 9 and just the beginning of it, 9a. And again, I want to speak on a subject, expanding your boundaries. Expanding your boundaries. And I believe with all my heart, there's just people have just settled for less and not asked through prayer for more. Settled for just whatever happens instead of knowing that God can always give more into our life. Settled for what they think is all they're going to get. But yet that's not how God's word is. God is always wanting to be abundant in our life and to bless us and to care for us, to heal us, to deliver us, to set us free. But there are things that get in the way, and we'll get to that in a moment. Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 9a. And I'm going to be reading out of the NLT this morning, New Living Translation. Isaiah chapter 6, starting with verse 1. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." I'm going to stop there just for a moment before I really begin to speak, and that is that we have to understand that God's glory has filled this earth. But I firmly believe that the church nationally, globally, has forgot that God's glory is filling this earth, and we're paying more attention to the smaller boundaries instead of having our boundaries extended and having our boundaries widened, that our gates would be wider, that our tent pegs would be moved further out, and that we would receive more from the Lord. God wants to give us more. Now you're thinking probably physically. I'm speaking spiritually. You may be thinking, oh good, I'm going to get more money. I'm not talking secular humanistic doctrine here. I'm talking God wants to give you more spiritually. You know, more life into your life that he has saved. More life into your spirit which he has blessed. More life into your goals that you have set, that you ask God to anoint. He wants to widen your gates. He wants to expand your boundaries. You know, simply put, some people just want to go and buy a piece of chocolate. God wants you to own the chocolate factory. You know, simply put, that, you know, you want to know more about the Lord, so you settle for what little you can learn. God wants to educate you that you will know the word and be able to quote the word. You see, those are the things that I'm speaking about today. The whole earth is filled with his glory. He's here in this room right now. You say, well, I don't see him. Well, you know, by faith, you need to receive that. He's here. You say, how do you know that? I invited him to church. Praise God. I invited him to church. I invited the Holy Spirit to come here. I invited him to be here. And lo and behold, the invitation is alive and well. And he is here with us this morning. When we worship him, he rests upon our praises. The Bible is very clear about that. And the enemy cannot do anything when we are worshiping. He can't do anything when we are praying. God has given us a prayer language that we can pray in our prayer language. Paul said it this way, I pray in tongues more than you all. You know, it's praying in the Spirit and being able to seek the Lord instead of going into the negative side of our human lifestyle. Talking all the negative instead of talking the positive. Negative speech will always lessen your gates. Will narrow your gates. Will take your boundaries and collapse them. Your tent pegs will get so brought close that there may not even be a door to your tent. Because negative talk causes negative reaction and a negative attitude. Let me move on before I preach. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. You say, that couldn't happen. But if you go into the book of Acts, they prayed with such boldness that the roof shook. And they were all refilled. Refilled with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I believe we take the initial filling of the Holy Ghost as the only filling you'll ever get. I'm telling you, God wants to refill you every day. God wants to pour more Holy Ghost into your life so you walk in power and you walk and possess where you walk. He said to Joshua, where you go, you shall possess. It's yours. God wants to show you favor, but he never shows favor to negative speech. He never shows favor to where somebody has a faith that says, I could never possess this. This could never be mine. Yes, it can be yours. And yes, it very well may be yours if you just seek the face of God and let him know that you believe his word. Look at your neighbor and say, I believe God's word. Then I said, it's all over. I'm doomed. There it is. God shows up. It's all over. I'm doomed. That's it. For I'm a sinful man. That's it. I'm for sure know that what I was confessing before to King Uzziah, how I love God so much, now I'm doomed. Because God showed up and I'm doomed. It's over. You know, the only reason that he was unable to see the Lord in the first place is he was looking to man for his extended boundaries. He was looking to man to widen his gates. He was looking to man to open up his tent pegs and spread them out. You know, God spoke to Israel and said, I want you to look beyond what you can see to the borders you don't even notice yet, and that's how far I'm extending my kingdom to you. That's what I'm giving you. He said, if you look beyond that, to the farthest of the sea, to the greatest of the rivers, I am giving this to you. You know, God always makes a path for us to get to where we're going. How do you know that, Pastor? Because when they came out of Egypt, God took them away that they weren't ready to go because they weren't ready for warfare yet. They didn't know how to fight. So God took them to a place to where all of a sudden they were surrounded by mountains, by the sea, and by Pharaoh's army coming after them. I mean, a lot of Pharaoh's army. Pharaoh himself was leading the army. We're talking a lot of folks coming after them. So good what they were in their army that they were going to capture 2.5 million people and bring them back into captivity. Wow. But God made a way. He opened up the sea. He made a path large enough for them to get through. He extended their borders right there in front of them. You say, well, how about what else? Could he do that again? When they got to the River Jordan, which is the river, and Jordan is a signification of death. When they got to the River Jordan, they didn't know how they were going to cross. It was the flooding time of the year. It was the river was larger than it was supposed to be. And the priests put their foot in the water, and they step across on dry. It goes 5 miles to the south and 6 miles to the north. And they walk over into a beautiful part of the promised land. They finally go in there after 40 years because they didn't believe that God was expanding their boundaries back when the 12 tribe leaders went in. And only Caleb and Joshua said, we can take this. And Caleb said, we are more than able to get this land. It's ours because God has spoken. You know, and we have to understand the ability that God gives us is his ability in us. It's his ability in us. Are you with me thus far? It's over. I'm doomed. For I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Sounds like he lives in the Bay Area to me. Praise God. But I'm trying to tell you right now that he saw himself in the presence of God and saw how small he really was. But all he needed was to make these confessions. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Yet, Habakkuk said, no matter what happens in my life, if everything fails, yet I will praise him. How many be honest this morning, and that yet I will praise him is not really in your language half the time. Because when things go bad, you're not yet praising him. You are crying the blues. I got the why me. You're calling B.B. King for a new song. You're calling Muddy Waters to see if he'll write your song. You're doing all you possibly can because you have got the blues happening because things aren't going your way. But he said, yet I will praise him. He said, even though I am doomed, even though that it's all over, even though I'm a sinful man, I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips, yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a burning coal. Now, when you ever see fire in the Old Testament, it represents the Holy Ghost. So this is a type of the Holy Ghost. A burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. You know, the angel, I've often wondered about this. The angel was created by God, and the Bible says that they are ministering spirits of fire. You know, I often wondered why he just didn't pick up the coal with his hands and take it over. Because he couldn't just reach out and grab the Holy Ghost. He had to bring the Holy Ghost to him in something that God had created for him to carry that coal, a pair of tongs. And he touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. If you've been touched by the Holy Ghost, somebody raised their hand and said, I've been touched. Praise God. I've been filled by the Holy Ghost. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. I've been freed by Calvary's cross. I know that I am alive in Christ because he has risen from the dead on the third day. I know that Jesus Christ is alive because he lives within me, praise God. And I know that I have the Holy Spirit in me because my guilt is removed and my sins are forgiven. Now listen to me. Too many people today in the church, nationally, locally, live in guilt. Because the enemy wants to put guilt on you every day. You didn't pray long enough today. You didn't read enough chapters of the Bible. You've missed 3 days of your commitment in reading the Word for the year. Guilt. 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 You didn't pray long enough when you went to pray. You simply didn't say enough. Guilt. 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 We make a law out of what God has given us grace to have. Wow. Because we will not understand that we've been touched by the Holy Ghost and we are free to be able to do what God wants us to do. Our guilt is removed and our sins are forgiven. Yes. Do me a favor today. Do yourself a favor. Go home or on your way to vacation, on your way to where you're headed for. Take a moment and look in your rearview mirror and say, I don't see guilt. I see a sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled person that's saved. That I am free from sin. I am free from guilt. God's grace covers me. I have been saved by grace through faith. In other words, I have been saved by unmerited favor. I didn't deserve this. I really deserve to have a hotel room in Hotel California sung by the Eagles. I really deserve to have a hotel room in hell. But because of the unmerited favor, I have a place in heaven. I have a mansion in glory. My name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. Now I'm going to preach in a minute, but I want you to understand that literally he did that because He loves you. We don't deserve this love. And to be quite frank, I don't know many Christians, myself looking in the mirror right now, that doesn't make a mess out of God's love all the time. We love who we choose. And we guilt everybody else. We need to love everybody no matter what. We don't love the sin, but we love the person. It's important stuff here, folks. We simply need to obey the King of Glory. And we need to love people. And we need to care for people. We need to embrace people. We need to show God's love to people, because we are the only love or the only Christ that they will ever see, because we are guiltless.
Yes.
We are free from sin. My God, church, doesn't that mean anything? We are freed from sin. Don't let the enemy put sin on you. You have no sin because you have been washed by the precious, pure, sanctified blood of Jesus Christ. You've been saved by grace, unmerited favor, through faith. You believe you're saved. Through faith. You believe it. I think it's really funny. I know a lot of folks that I'll say this to. Are you saved? And they go, yes, I am. Don't mess with my salvation. I said, you think God can heal you? I'm not sure. Do you think God can get you out of what you're going through? I'm unsure. Do you think God can get you over this mountaintop? I'm unsure. Do you think God will take you through to the end of this valley? I'm not sure. Are you saved? Yes, I am. There's no balances of faith here. Faith is faith. Faith is faith. And we'll touch on that in just a moment. But faith is something that's part of your life. God wants to expand your boundaries. Praise God. Some of you are moving into new areas of your life for the first time in several years. And you're afraid. Fear and faith cannot dwell together. Go to your closet. Take the coat of fear and take it outside and throw it out the door. Get rid of it. And put on your coat of faith. And know that God will take care of you no matter what.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. God will help you no matter what. Why? You're saved by grace through faith. Not by works that we should boast, but it is a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. I tell you, I love people when they get a gift. You know, you don't get all humble about it, you know. But here's what you really think. I really like to look inside of that right now. I hope they got me what I wanted. If not, I'm going to be unhappy about it. Humans are humans. You know, and you wait to get all alone, you open it up, and it's what you wanted. You go, yeah, and if it's not what you wanted, you package it back up, you throw it in the corner, and hope that Goodwill comes by next week. Don't do that to God. God gave you a gift. You unpackaged it. It's the gift of salvation. You are saved. You are free. No guilt. No doom. No filthy lips. And you don't have to hang out with people that have filthy lips. That's your choice.
Amen.
Well, half of you still want to hang out with them. My guilt's removed and my sins are forgiven. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? Now, I'm going to stop here for a moment. And I want you to understand that as I brought this introduction to this message, as that there's a man that all he saw was King Uzziah. And the day that that blockage, that individual, that ruler got out of his life, he saw the Lord. And God brings him to a point after he touches him with the Holy Ghost or the coal of fire. off the altars of God. How many's ever been to the altars of God? My Lord, someone raise your hand in this house. How many's ever been to the altars of God? Praise God. Lord, ask me. Yo! My God, I got filled with the Holy Ghost at the altars of God. I got saved at the altars of God. I got sanctified at the altars of God. I've got healed at the altars of God. I've been blessed at the altars of God. God has spoke to my spirit man at the altars of God. Yeah, I've been to the altars of God. Praise God. Excuse me, I got a little excited. Hope I didn't scare you. But when you've been there, man. Yes. Praise God. I remember getting I was praying in Salida, California. I was in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit at an old wooden altar, not a padded altar, but an old planked wooden altar that had tear stains for at least 45 years on it. Teared stains of people crying out to God and change being made at an altar. And I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And my secretary comes and taps me on the shoulder. And I come out of my prayer language and I look to her. And the reason I say I come out of my prayer language is that some folks, you know, they get so up in the spirit, they think you can't get near them. Come on, folks. Okay? Let's just keep our feet on the ground and let Jesus lift us off the ground when it's time. You hear what I'm saying to you? I like what I saw a sign the other day. It says, God wants spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. Whoa! Someone shout amen. But she tapped me on the shoulder and I come out of the Holy Ghost. I've been in prayer for an hour or more without guilt. And she said, the district overseer, Brother Bailey, is on the phone for you. I looked her right in her face. I said, you tell Brother Bailey that I'm talking to somebody a little bit more important than he is. I'm talking to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm speaking in the Holy Ghost, and I've got something happening here. I'll call him back when Jesus says you can go. How many been to the altars of God? Oh, hallelujah. I wish some of you could be old enough in the Lord to remember the old planked altars. Tear stained and just there with it. If the altar could speak, it could tell you testimony after testimony of people being healed and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm proud of my Pentecostal roots. Amen. And I'm glad that I was at the altars of God. Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? He's saying, God's saying, I know who you are right now, Isaiah. I know that you are being called to be a prophet right now. I know that. I'm asking, whom should I send? What I'm saying to you, Isaiah, is this. Do you want your boundaries expanded? Do you want your boundaries expanded? Do you want your tent pegs widened? Do you want your gates opened up further? I know who I'm speaking to. And he said, who will go for us? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are talking. Who will go for us? He's saying to him, are you willing to let me expand your boundaries? Church, I want to ask you something. Are you willing to let God expand your boundaries? Now, I want you to go back up real quick with me to verse 5. Then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord's heaven's armies. He saw him, but he hadn't been filled by him. We got a lot of folks that attend church that have seen him, but it's never been filled by him. That was a get myself in trouble statement. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's all across the nation like that. Folks aren't filled with the Holy Ghost. They're not. They've maybe seen the Lord in prayer. They may have touched the Lord in prayer. But they have no fire in them to go forward. I got a little deeper in trouble there, but I'm all right with it because I'm going to preach now. I'm just saying to you, if you go from verse 5 all the way down now to verse 8, then I heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? Because in between verse 5 and verse 8, something happened. He got touched by God. He got touched by the Holy Ghost. He got sanctified. He got set apart for service. He was there. And all of a sudden, at the end of verse 8, he goes, I said, here I am. Send me. It wasn't hard to find a volunteer then. You know, I tell you, the best place to find volunteers in the church is right after an altar call. And the Holy Ghost has touched them. Amen. Here I am. Send me. Why didn't you ask me? You know, there it is. That's what I'm saying to you. And what I mean to say here is, and he said, verse 9, just the beginning of verse 9, verse 9a, and he said, yes, go. God released his boundaries. He was just a man that could see King Uzziah. Now God expanded his boundaries to be the prophet to the nation. Are you with me? God just expanded his boundaries to be a prophet to a nation. Yes, go. You've been touched by the Holy Ghost. You have said, yes, go. Here I am. I wonder how many people here, or maybe you know in your family, or maybe you know, had an experience with God at the altar, but their boundaries never got expanded because they never acted upon the yes, go. The yes, go. I don't know why I do things. The yes, go. They got that touch from the planked altar to the old wooden pew. How many remember wooden seats? Planked seats. Not like the pews y'all had here. Those were comfortable. I'm talking planked, plywood, painted brown seats. To where 15 minutes into the sermon, something you sit on was hurting. And you was hoping somebody would say, stand up and praise the Lord. I'm talking about the yes, go. And here's what I'm saying. Now go over there to Isaiah 26 and 15. Are y'all with me? Isaiah 26 and 15. I'm preaching good today. I expect a good lunch. Isaiah 26 and 15. Now listen to this. Isaiah 26 and 15. Listen to what it says here. You have increased the nation, O Lord. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have expanded all the borders of the land. You're God's land. You have expanded all the borders of who I am because I was filled by you. I received your power. I got saved. I got sanctified. I received your power. I was baptized with fire. And God, I got the yes go. And the furthest I got from the yes go was to the plank seat. I don't know where I'm going to go in a minute, but if I come running by or shouting by, would you just run and shout with me? If you can't run and shout, just ask me to lay hands on you. You'll run and shout. I'm trying to say to you that there is a challenge in the Word of God for every born-again believer that when you got saved, you got sanctified. When you got sanctified, you got filled with the Holy Ghost and you got baptized in fire.
And God gave you the yes, go. And somehow between the plank to the plank altar with the testimony of tears to the plank seats or even a soft altar or now altars don't exist. God forgive us for what we did in Pentecost by removing our altars. But now we got steps that we call altar to a brown padded chair. But somewhere, somehow, that yes, go, got a yes, I'm on hold.
I don't know why I do that. Don't ask me why, I have no idea, but just felt good. I'm just saying to you that we have to understand the church in America got a yes go. Yeah. The preachers that wrote from England in 1776 into the early 1800s and sent preachers to this country to get the yes go got the yes go. But somehow we have allowed the yes go to be not me. I love you all. As strange or awkward as it may seem, we've kept the narrow path instead of a widened path in America. Instead of realizing that God has promised faith in a kingdom which He has created, we often have settled for the least instead of seeking the more. How big are your prayers? How big are your prayers? Are your prayers saying to God, oh, deliver me? Or are your prayers saying to God, I'm going to own this one day? As you start reaching towards God and possess what God has already given you, deliverance just falls in place. It just falls in place. It just is there. John 10:10 says, the thief purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. That's the whole reason the devil is on this earth, is to kill, steal, and destroy. But his purpose, he said, is to give them a rich and satisfying life, a spiritually rich life. You see, the Bible says that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Now listen, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We are blessed already with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The Bible says that our minds should be set on things above and not on things of the earth. The Bible says that we should be in prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. My house, the temple of the Holy Ghost, shall be called a house of prayer. We should be open to what God has for us to do on the go. The go! Second thing that I think happens with people, and again, I'm not being condescending, it's just a reality. If you see it, it's clear, is people wait for somebody else to do it. You know, let somebody else do it. But we have to do what God's called us to do. We have to bless what God has blessed in our life. There's this, you know, faith. Faith expands the horizons of hope. I put this on Twitter the other day, and it goes right on my Facebook page. But I was sitting there, and I was looking over a bunch of stuff, and man, I just felt this come through my spirit, and I typed it out. Faith expands the horizons of hope and extends the gates of expectations. Can I say it again so you get it in your heart? Faith expands the horizons of hope. Some folks' hope is way down here. The horizons could be way out there. What you hope for? I hope for my whole family to be saved. I hope for my grandchildren to be preaching the gospel. I have such great hope for my grandchildren. When they're sleeping at night, I go in there and lay my hands on their head, the right hand of faith. And I say, God, use them. Call them into the ministry. Bless them. Take them, Father. They are yours. When a woman is pregnant, I say, God, let no evil befall that child that's in her womb, or no illness come near that dwelling. Well, you know where they're living. And then I say, God, call them from the womb to a high calling. What we need back on this earth again is some high calling preachers that are willing to preach the gospel, willing to say God's word in God's language, in God's power, and know that even know that what we are doing will keep and expand the boundaries as it was for Isaiah. Sometimes our insecurities keep us from doing what we really want to do. And don't act like you don't have insecurities. Everybody has insecurities. You don't know this, but I'm a very insecure preacher. You don't know that about me. You probably wouldn't think that, but I'm a very insecure preacher. I eat all this stuff in my mouth. I pull my socks up about 15 times. I pace around. I'm as insecure as you can get till I get up here. Then the Holy Ghost says, now. Amen. I'd go to the bathroom if I could, if it wasn't too far back. Praise God. They looked for me one time when I was preaching a revival, man. I was pacing all over the place. You know, I'm so insecure. I'm saying, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. It's not. Why don't you choose somebody else? Send somebody else, you know. But I got the Holy Ghost. I'm just an insecure. I'm just confessing to you. I'm a very insecure person. Praise God. But I know this, that when the Holy Ghost comes upon me, that insecure person is sitting somewhere playing the guitar. Praise God. Amen. I know you're worried, Eva. I tell you, I'm not going to break it like I did the one time. I promise. Praise God. But when I'm up here preaching, it's the Holy Ghost. I'm not insecure at all. I asked my wife 100 times on the way home today, did I do okay? Did I sound okay? Was it all right? She gets so fed up after a while, she said, it was great. Then she changes it to something else, so I won't keep talking about it. I told her when I was preaching tonight, I said, you think it'll be all right? She said, yeah, that'll be good. I'm not that person. But when the Holy Ghost, yes, when the cold touches you, hallelujah, go. Yes.
Amen.
You can conjure. Sometimes we get so insecure, we don't recognize that our boundaries have already been expanded. They're already expanded, but we don't recognize it because we're so insecure. Praise God. I know that my boys and my daughter will all be saved. I know it because God gave my wife a promise in Salida, California, at that wooden altar plank. For all of them. It may not look like it right now. But they will be saved.
Amen.
The widen your borders for your family. Your enemy of your soul may be seeking to deplete the greatness of God's promise in your life. He's looking to deplete you, not expand you. God is looking to expand you, not deplete you.
Amen.
You know, you go to those fine dining restaurants, which I've never been, but my boy is a Michelin star level chef, so, and my other boy's been to them, and I know people that go to them, and I know chefs that cook in them. Enough of that, right? And you get this little bite. Then you get the big bite when the bill comes. If you drink wine, which I don't, and I don't believe anybody should. No, I'm in trouble again, Lord. If you pair the wine with your meal just doubled. Then you get the bigger bite. Maybe a meal costs you $600. But you know what? I like going to the table where you sit down and it just overflows. I mean, it overflows. You know what I mean? You're like, should I box this or should I keep eating it? I mean, it overflows. You're so happy. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to allow him and to, for us to see our boundaries already expanded, and he doesn't want us to box it. He wants us to embrace it and to move forward in it. Can you give me just a few more minutes? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's live that in our life. The substance, that assurance, that what God stated is the reason you have hope. It's a substance. You can hold it. It's yours. It's there. There's an evidence that is real, even if the senses do not see it or feel it. It's still there. It's yours. Don't let the enemy destroy your faith. Don't let the enemy push your faith down. Don't let him tell you what to do. You know, you need to stop looking at there, and you need to start looking up there. For God wants to be the lifter of your chin, and he wants to be around you, the shield that surrounds you. He wants to be that high place where you go to. He wants to be that altar that you pray at. He wants to be everything what you want to be. There's a declaration of faith must be accompanied with a belief or an anointing. Some folks say they believe faith, but they don't have an anointing with it. You see, you have to move in the anointing God gave you to have your boundaries expanded. Let me take you a little deeper. No matter what, it will happen. Uzziah, he's, as I've already mentioned, when his wall was removed, he saw the Lord. And he saw himself. Wow. He saw himself who he was. He saw himself of what he is. You know, sometimes I think there's people in our lives that keep us from doing what God wants us to do. I'm getting a little personal now, aren't I? They keep us from getting or receiving the expanded boundaries. People in our life keep us from moving forward because they want to control our life. Let me tell you who controls your life. The Holy Ghost. Let me tell you who is the one who ministers to your spirit. The Holy Ghost. Let me tell you who the one who takes your prayers on the wings of angels is. The Holy Ghost. Let me tell you the language that you speak is the Holy Ghost language when you're praying in the spirit. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You want to saturate your home? Pray in the Spirit all throughout your home. Amen and amen. You want to see God do something in your life? Begin to get men out of the way and begin to say, God, where are you? Take me where you want me to be. Are you with me? I may preach in just one moment at the end here. People keep you from receiving the Holy Spirit sometimes. You don't want that Holy Ghost. You don't want that. No, you don't want that. You may act wild. Man, give me some wild. Praise God. Give me some godly emotion. Don't give me man's emotion. Give me God's emotion. Give me a shout. Give me victory. Go, God, give me anything you have as long as it's from you. Sometimes people keep you from receiving a direct word from God. Because they don't want you to realize you have a destiny and a spiritual inheritance. What is your spiritual inheritance today? I'll tell you what I like. is once you know that God extends your boundaries, He widens your gates and spreads out your tent pegs, you will see Him and know Him as described in Isaiah 42 and 10. People, always forget this verse. Can I read it to you? Once you understand, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. The Bible says in the New Testament, Jesus said, no man can pluck you out of God's hand. You are in the palm of God's hand, and no man can pluck you out. God's victorious right hand. Well, let me go through a quick list here, because I want you to understand, fear can stop you from seeing who God is. Doubt can stop you from seeing who God is. Lack of expectation can keep you from having expanded borders. Discouragement can keep you from receiving from the Lord. Settling for less when God has more for you keeps you from receiving what God wants for you and desires for you. Believing what you have is all you'll get is not what God's plan is for your life. God never runs out of more. Ever. God never runs out of more. Ever. He's always got more for you. Believing your vision is an outlandish one. Now, I can't tell anybody about my vision because, man, it's too big. It's outlandish. This couldn't be it. It may even be a nightmare. I don't know. Let me tell you something. When God speaks to you, gives you a vision to do something, act upon it. If you're unsure about it, check with some mature Christians. Sit down and talk to them about it. And pray with them. And understand what's going on if you don't know. But don't ever think a vision from God is outlandish. It's holy. It's sanctified. It's the coal of the altar. Send me. Having a pigeonhole attitude. Now, some of you folks may not understand what that is. But when I was growing up, we used to call it being pigeonholed. That's all you got. You ever see what a pigeonhole looks like? A little small hole just gets in there and it goes in and just hangs out in a cage. You see, you get in the pigeonhole, you're in your small cage. That's it. Don't have a pigeonholed attitude instead of receiving your God-expanded boundaries. Man, just get out of the pigeonhole. Say, that's it. I'm done. Break that pigeonhole attitude and receive what God has for you. And not directing your faith to the right location. Boy, sometimes we're wanting what God doesn't want for our life. That's another message at another time. We need to increase our faith in God. And we need to turn our faith in the direction that He says to go. Let me close here. Expanding your boundaries usually come from the confrontation with the Lord. It does. It just doesn't show up. It's a confrontation that you'll receive from the Lord. A needed confrontation, a positive confrontation. Not every confrontation is a negative confrontation. How about this one? Paul on the road to Damascus, Acts 9. What a positive confrontation that was. He was about to kill a bunch of people and put them in jail. He was about to get everything. He had papers in his pouch. He was going after it. He met Jesus. He went there saying, I'm on the team now. I'm on the team. Positive confrontation. How about Ezekiel in the valley of the dry bones? Ezekiel 37. God lifts him up, takes him in the spirit, sets him down, and God asks him the question, can these bones live? And he had enough sense to say to God, only thou knowest. He knew how to direct his faith. You with me on that one now? You understand where I'm going with that one? He knew how to direct his faith. Only thou knowest. I don't know if dry bones can live. They're dry. They're dead. There's no sinew. There's no blood. It's an arid country. They've been there a lot of years. They're dry bones. How many's ever seen a skeleton? I've seen this. My boy was in medical school. He took me down into the area to where they took the bodies all apart, pressed a little button, and up came a body. He took the top off. I'm cool with it because, you know, I don't mind that stuff. He took a top off, pulled her chest open, reached in, grabbed her heart, and handed it to me. I said, "Thank you, son. Praise God. Hallelujah." You know, I saw the body. It was there. This is what they did. They went in, and that's how they found out about bodies and how they fixed them and what they could do. That was a dead body. It was right there. But it had sinew on it. But the dry bones had nothing. Now, I know that what my boy pressed a button and lifted up in there and opened up the hood and reached in, pulled the chest open and handed me a heart. I know that wasn't going to live because that person got, the reason that person ended up there is because someone shot that person in the head. That's how they get those bodies. They should think, doesn't it? What do you think Ezekiel felt like? All of a sudden, he's one where with God. He's one. Now listen to me. I'm trying to help you here, and I'm hoping you get this. He's one place with God for a moment, then he's at another place with God. And God does that with everybody. You're one place with God for a while, and all of a sudden, he takes you to a place, and you're with God. I'm not talking about changing churches. I'm talking about spiritual.
Amen.
Amen. He just goes, man. You're all of a sudden there, and all of a sudden, you're there. And all of a sudden, God asks you, "Do you think these dry bones can live?" And you better be able to say, "God, only you know." God's not looking for you to give some sort of an answer so you can get an A in your test and you can graduate in all your exams and you can get a 4.0 at the end. He wasn't looking for a grade. He was looking to see where you direct your faith. Say amen if you're with me. Jesus comes to Zacchaeus' house, Luke 19. Here's that little man, couldn't see over the crowd, couldn't see anything. He climbed a tree. Jesus saw him and said, "Hey, I'm coming to your house today." If that man wouldn't have climbed a tree, he would have never been saved that day. He climbed the tree. "Hey, Zacchaeus, it's me and you today. We got a divine appointment." You see, God will give you a divine appointment if you do something aggressive enough to see him. He went home with him. He said, "You know, I've hurt a lot of folks. You know, I've taken a lot of money. I'll give half of what I have to do, and anything else I have to do, I'll do." He said, "You're saved." You did it right. You did it right. In other words, you climbed the tree. Here I am. Here we are. You are going to be in paradise with me. And then there's the boy with the small lunch. Sometimes we don't think we have anything at all to offer God, but all he needs is a little. It's all he needs. Just a little. Just a little. I want to ask you these questions and then I want to just pray with you. Has life or people brought you to a place of complacency? A place of small satisfaction and large disappointments? Do you have the thimble full of hope or an ocean full? It's time to expand your boundaries by seeing the Lord in your life and pursuing your destiny. I pray today that God has touched your heart, that you've understood the depth of this message, and that you understand that God has something great for each and every one of you.